You sound good this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We have reason to sing, don't we?
Amen.
That's what we're going to preach on today, huh? Something to sing about. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 15 today. We're going to be looking at the very first song that's been recorded in the Bible. And we're going to talk about that song and what the contents are therein and try to get some practical application today. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles then open to Exodus chapter 15. As you find your place, we'll stand together and we'll read the first 19 verses of Exodus in chapter number 15. I want to thank those of you who prayed for the meeting at Heartland this past Tuesday. It went very well. And when I got done, I thought for me being in that atmosphere and on that venue, it couldn't have gone any better. And from my standpoint, I'm sure there are students there that wish it had gone better, but I really enjoyed the day, and God gave peace and liberty for that meeting, and so I praise His name for it. But I'm glad to be home. I'm glad to be home with my church family. I love my church family.
Amen.
And, I prayed for you all this morning. When I got up this morning, I went through the rows in my mind and began to pray for you this morning. You would be here, number one, and you would have a good attitude, number two. How are we doing so far?
Amen.
You're here. How's your attitude?
Amen.
All right, good. All right, chapter number 15 of Exodus. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow, verse 10, with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And God's people said,
Amen.
We thank the Lord for this wonderful Lord's Day. I thank you for everybody who was able to come together this morning and assemble in your name and, Father, around your book, the inspired Word of God. And, Lord, today I pray that you would speak to us from your Word, that you would encourage us and help us. And, Lord, maybe even challenge and convict us, Lord, in areas we might need that kind of work done today. And Father, we want to pray this morning, if there be anyone here today who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that your Holy Spirit would do His work in this place and show that one or more their need of salvation on this Lord's Day. And this Lord's Day would become their day of salvation. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing this morning. When I started going to church with Kathy in high school, we were high school sweethearts, and her parents made sure that we were in church every Sunday. That was part of the deal. If I was going to see her, I was going to be in church on Sundays. I wasn't saved yet at the time, but that was what led me to a saving knowledge of Christ, and I thank God for it now. It's not my recommended way of doing things with young people today, but for us, God saw fit to make it a wonderful relationship, and we've got a blessed marriage. Today, March 1st, actually, is the day we met, about 100 years ago. But anyway, yeah, it seems like it anymore, but she reminded me of that this morning. So this is the day we met, and we met at a high school basketball game, and that's where the history book is still being written, I guess. But I would go to church, and I was way too cool to sing, right? I was a teenager, 16 years old, maybe 17 at the time, and just way too cool to be singing along with these songs. They weren't real exciting. The beat's not real enticing, and I don't even know what they meant. And so she would sing, and I would just kind of follow along and read the words as she sang. Okay. Somewhere along the line, I don't know where, God got a hold of my heart, and He made me want to sing to Him in church.
Amen.
And then I remember the first time that I was standing next to Kathy and began to sing. She looked up at me, and I don't know if she was like, "Wow, he's singing," or "Oh my, he's singing." You know, one of those two things. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't sing as far as the whole tune thing. Tone deaf I am. But I really do enjoy singing. And now, I don't know if you all hear me or not, but I sing out with all that I have. Every hymn that we go through, as long as I'm familiar with it, I sing it out because I like singing out to the Lord. Matthew's got a great voice. And he can carry a tune, and he can match his voice to the notes and things of that nature. You know, he has that gift of singing. And then there's other people in the church, and you know who you are, that we don't really have the gift of singing, but we sing anyway.
Amen.
Right? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Right.
And so I guess what I want to say is this, is that we all have something to sing about.
Amen.
Even if you're, like me, too cool to sing, or like I have been in the past, self-conscious of the fact I can't carry a tune, things of nature. If we are God's children, then we have something to sing about.
Amen.
And that's really what I want to pull from this account this morning. This is the very first song ever recorded in the Bible, and we call it the Song of Moses. And kind of just a brief background. I won't keep you long. Have I ever kept you long? Thank you for that. A brief background. The children of Israel have left Egyptian bondage. They have crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, there was a wall of water. The Bible says it was congealed on both sides of them. And they walked through on dry ground. And they made it to the other side. And Pharaoh's army that was chasing them all drowned as the walls of water collapsed upon them. And they drowned in on the other side. And really the first thing they do is they sing. Well, why do you think they sing? Because they have reason to sing? It's a pretty great thing to go through the Red Sea on dry ground. It's a pretty good thing to see your enemy taken away by the mighty hand of God. And so Moses goes and he begins to sing this song. And to sing is just to utter sounds with a melodious intent. You don't have to be on key to sing. You got to have a melodious intent. It's not just talking, it's singing.
Amen.
We had a waiter on the cruise. We went to breakfast, Kathy and I did one morning, and I called him the singing waiter because everything you asked him, he would repeat it back in song. I didn't have coffee, but all the folks around were having coffee. And they say, "We have some coffee." He goes, "Coffee." Right? And we say thank you. You say, you're welcome. You know, but it was back and forth. And we were just enjoying so much. You know, he was from the Philippines or somewhere like that. And you know, he just enjoyed his job. He was singing everything as he went. I would say he had a joyful life. He may not even had known Jesus Christ as his Savior, but yet something in his heart said, I want to sing. Well, you have Christ as Savior. And something in your heart should say this, I want to sing. Do you know that sometimes when I think I'm by myself, I'll sing? I'll wake up with a song on my heart. I have favorite hymns, and oftentimes I'll wake up with those hymns on my heart, and I'll start out the day by whistling that hymn, and then I'll go through the day, and I'll be outside going between my house and the office there, and I'll be singing maybe Rock of Ages or Grace Greater Than My Sin. I call it my sin because that's why I look at it. It's very personal for me. And I'll be singing along and probably pretty loud, and all of a sudden I'll see a neighbor staring me down. How awkward that is. But I just keep on singing.
Yep. Amen.
Because God has put a song in my heart. He's put words in my mouth. And He's given me something to sing about. We all have something to sing about, and we should be able to consider that this morning and ponder that in our hearts. Just 2 points this morning from this text that I want you to consider is this. Number one, we should sing about who God is. We should sing about who God is. That's how the song starts out in Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He hath thrown into the sea. Now I want you to look at verse number 2. The Lord is my what? And song. And He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. We can go down in verse number 13. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast girded them in strength. Again, that word strength, unto Thy holy habitation. Go back to verse 11. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful praises in doing wonders? And so, one of the main reasons that we sing, you know, hymns every Sunday, every service when we come together, is you want to make sure that we're taking time to praise God for who He is.
Amen.
Moses said, well, number one, the Lord is my strength. He's the one that empowers me. Moses looked at what had happened at the Red Sea, not as Moses' ability to hold out his arms to stretch forth a rod. He looked at what happened at the Red Sea of God's power and God's strength allowing such a thing to happen. Moses knew that in and of himself, he couldn't cause those waters to part. It had to be the strength of God. It had to be a supernatural strength. It had to be a strength that nobody else could really understand, that our minds could not even begin to wrap its arms around, or for our minds to even begin to consume. Because the Lord was the strength of the people. It was the Lord's strength, I believe, that sheltered the people during the various plagues that were coming upon the Egyptian people during this time, as God, by His strong hand, sheltered the people in Goshen. They didn't have the hailstorms. They didn't get the boils and the things that were going on, the frogs and all the different plagues that went on. Because God's hand is a very, very strong hand. And I think, this is just maybe just me, but if I'm wrong, you can let me know later. I just feel like that we forget how strong God is. And we want to do things in our own strength and do things our own way. And according to how things have worked in the past, we are an experience-driven people when we should be a faith-driven people. We tend to become an experience-driven people when we should be a faith-driven people.
Amen.
Because we walk by faith and not by what? Right. And without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. And so we're supposed to be a faith-driven people. And I believe this, that a faith-driven person has learned to draw his or her strength from God's inexhaustible well of strength. And we go back to Him and back to Him and back to Him. In the book of Nehemiah, we're reminded of this truth, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, it's what God gives us, what God is working in us, and what God is doing through us that strengthens us. You know, we talk about the various things, you know, we call our men's prayer meeting the mountain movers. Because we're taught in the scriptures that by faith, God can do great things through us. Like taking a mountain and throwing it into the sea. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's why we could sing about Him this morning, because He is our strength. He is also what? Keep on reading here in verse number 2. He has become my salvation. I could go on this morning and just kind of finish the day on salvation and what it is. But salvation means to be rescued, doesn't it? It's like the lifeguard who saves the drowning victim from going down for the very last time. They're about to utter their last words, to take their last breath. And they are delivered from that very treacherous moment in their lives. And that is what God has done for the children of Israel. Their backs were against the wall. Don't forget this. The last time we were together, we talked about how God made a way. And they had their backs against the Red Sea. And on the other horizon, they see hear the hoofbeats and see the dust cloud rising in the distance of the Egyptian army coming at them in a fury. And like I said, they weren't coming just to have a last minute fellowship. They're going to come and either take them back to Egypt or start taking off some heads. Wasn't real clear what was going to happen there. But anyway, they had their backs against the wall, and God opened up that Red Sea, the wall of water there, and they walked through on dry ground. They understood what it meant to say this, that God had become my salvation. We say this, but Pastor, I've never had a Red Sea moment. Oh, yeah, you have. Yep. Your back was against the wall. And your back was against the wall because, number one, you were facing the prospect of spending eternity in a Christless hell. And what on the other side was the law of God telling you that you were not right, that you were not good, that all of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. And so there was no really right way to go. We say, well, I'm going to go ahead and adopt the law, and I'm going to do the law. We can't even keep the Ten Commandments, let alone the whole 613 tenets and precepts of the law. And we're reminded in the New Testament even that if we break the law in one point, we are guilty of breaking what? The whole thing, right? Of all. And so we have that moment in our life. Can you get that for me, Jeff? I need that in just a second. Okay, that's good. We had that moment in our life, and what God did then was He made a way. And we could say that in a sense, spiritually, He opened the Red Sea. I'm about to get happy.
Amen. Come on.
Crimson.
Yep.
A crimson flood. When His blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, He said, you come this way, and you can leave the law behind. That pursuer of blood's not in, avenger of blood's not interested in you any longer. And hell won't even be in your rear view mirror any longer once you come through the crimson flow. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so He made a way, and we did have that Red Sea moment, and it's a great blessing. We minimize it sometimes, and we forget how great salvation is. But it's just as great as when God opened up the walls of the Red Sea for them to walk through on dry ground. It's even greater in a sense because for the individual, He made a way for each and every one of us to come to Him in faith. And He said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was a Red Sea moment. And you had a changing moment. It was a life-changing moment. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
We should sing because God's our strength. We should sing because God is our salvation.
Amen.
Amen. It's God and God alone. It wasn't things that we have done. It was by His mercy that we saved us. Not of works of righteousness, right? We can't work our way to heaven, but by His grace we are saved. He's become my salvation. He is, I love this. I love how this is put here. He is my God.
Amen.
It's one thing for me to preach about God in like a far away, no doubt, magnificent, omniscient, awe-inspiring, omnipresent, transcendent, immutable. I can go on. Holy entity who has made all that we see and enjoy, whose ultimate abode is a place called heaven. We could talk about the God that way. Or we can bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road and bring it right into our hearts and say, I want to tell you about my God. The Lord is my shepherd. See? And it becomes very personal and it becomes very individual. And you know, and I like to think about how Moses sang this song. He said, He is my God. He's my strength, yes. He's my salvation, absolutely. But don't forget this, He's my God. We personalize it that way. We bring Him into our hearts. We bring Him into our homes. When we have that kind of attitude, Brother Jeff, we invite Him into the worship service. Yep. He's my God.
Yep. Amen.
I guess I better ask the question this morning, is He your God?
Come on.
He needs to be your God this morning, not just the God, transcendent over all. Again, magnificent, marvelous, omnipresent, omniscient, all those things. He has to be your personal, individual God.
Amen.
That's when the changes start to take place. Mm-hmm. That's when the relationship begins to get kindled between you and the great God of heaven. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. Boy, I had a hard time with that. Understanding how on earth can I prepare a place for God to dwell in? So I had to, number one, I had to look at some other helps, a Bible dictionary, to find out what this word habitation means. And you know what it means? This is so beautiful. It's a place of praise. It once again comes down to that point where it's my God. It's you and Him. And I'm going to prepare in my life a place of praise where God's going to live.
Yep.
Oh, boy, I'm about to go to glory right there. Yeah, I'm going to prepare a place in my life, in my heart, where I'm going to get alone and just praise God.
Amen.
I might sing off key.
Amen.
My singing might offend my neighbors. My singing might excite the cats in the neighborhood. I don't know. But I'm going to get alone with God, and I'm going to prepare Him a habitation in my heart where I can praise Him and praise Him alone, because He alone is worthy of the praise.
Amen.
That's what it means to prepare that habitation for our Lord, to have that place of praise where we get alone with Him and get quiet with Him and say, Lord, I want You to come into this place because I want to praise You and praise You alone. And if no one else on the earth hears it, that's okay, because, Lord, this praise is intended for You.
Amen.
I always wonder what it would be like if Kathy and I were the only ones who came to church on a Sunday morning. I always thought about that. I guess it's kind of I don't know. It could happen. And I think we would do things just no differently. We would come together. We would sing songs. She would play and I would lead. Don't be like that. Don't be ugly this morning, okay? It's just me and her and God, right?
Amen.
And then I would read some scripture and preach a little while. The same that I do now. But I'm just telling you, there's got to be in the heart of the individual this desire to invite God in.
Yep, come on.
For praise. Here's my question. Does He deserve praise?
Yes.
I'm going to go on now. What happened? Mike, what happened? I know I went to the first point, didn't I? Can I go? Think about who God is. That's what I was preaching a minute ago, right? Did you do that, Jeff? Okay. Sing about what God does. When I wrote that point right there, I said, that's not enough to sing about what God does. Because we need to sing about this: what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do.
Right. Amen.
Past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Because He's done so much, hasn't He?
Yes.
You know, just with the framing of the world that we're standing on and we're worshiping in today, he's done so much in the way of salvation. He's doing so much with the guiding of our feet, with the lighting of our paths, with the revealing of his perfect will in our lives, by bringing together various circumstances and situations that all work together for his good, right? And so he's doing things, but he's going to do some things yet future. That when you read the book are absolutely incredible.
Amen.
I can't wait for these things to unfold. I don't know that if I'll be here on the earth when it happens, but I do know this, that one day I'll be with him in heaven and I'll have a complete enough of an understanding to know what God has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
And it's amazing to think about, but they talked about, Moses did, about, well, drowning the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. It says in verse number 3, the Lord is a man of war. What does that mean? What does God do? He fights for you.
Yep.
And you want to be on the Lord's side.
Yep.
Right? I love the VBS songs. You know, if you've ever seen me during VBS, it's worth the time to come one night and watch me act up in Jesus' name, okay?
Amen.
Whose side are you leaning on? I can get real happy about that song. Whose side are you leaning on? Whose side are you shouting on? Whose side are you whispering on? What's the other ones, Angel? Remember them all? Whose side are you clapping on? Whose side are you shouting on? Amen. Get all excited because we're on God's side. Do we have a song in our hymnal, Who's on the Lord's Side? Yeah. And, you know, and that's, you know, it's important to understand this, that God is the one who fights for us. What would it take for you to stop fighting your own battles and give them to God? That hit me hard too. I'm a man.
Yep.
I fight my own battles. I don't want somebody fighting my battles for me. But then I realize that my battles are bigger than me. Oftentimes my battles are bigger than life itself. And God says, you give me those battles. They're my battles. I love this story about Nabal and Abigail and David. And Nabal made David very angry one day. And David was ready to kill this guy, Nabal. And Abigail intervened. I mean, she intervened in a supernatural way. And she told David that David needs to be concerned about the bundle of life and the things that are in that bundle. But she also said this. She said, David, don't forget this, that God has the ability to put your enemies in the center of a sling and sling them out. God can take care of all of our enemies for us. You know, we get so worked up over our enemies. People don't like us. God's our God. He fights for us. The battle belongs to the Lord. You know, Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, talks about this toward the end. Who then can separate us, or who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And it goes to this whole list of things. Peril and nakedness and sword. You know, and man's, we could just go through, man's, you know, devious machinations, all these things that are going on. I'm taking out of context a little bit there, but I'm just saying all these things that can happen. And it ends up saying this is the thing that you have to salt your faith with, is there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ or love of God in Christ Jesus. We are in the Father's hand and no man can pluck us out of His hand. He fights for us. He goes to bat for us. We have an advocate, don't we, with the Father. I'm so glad I heard the term lawyer this morning a little bit, you know, in fun. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is my advocate.
Yep.
And He's going to the Father on my behalf. And He makes sure He defends me against the accuser of the brethren faithfully and daily. He daily maketh intercession for me. Amen. That's what God is doing all of the time. You know what else He's doing? Preparing a place for you.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, we go on and on and on this morning. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He is our advocate. He is building something for us. He is doing something for us. We can go on, like I said, on and on this morning. It talks about it in verse number 12. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. That just reminds us that our God guides us and leads us. And if you take those terms of Edom and Moab and Canaan, and you look at them on a map, what Moses is singing about here is the geography of what they have to go through to get to the promised land. And they're going to have to go through Edom, and there's no friends there of Israel. They're going to have to go through Moab, and there's no friendship there with the Moabites and the Jews. Then they're going to get to Canaan, and even though God has said Canaan is the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, all the things that are waiting there, there are people there who are living in Canaan who aren't going to be very friendly again toward the Jews coming in and possessing their land. But every step they take, God's going to guide them, God's going to direct them, God's going to take care of the battles. Can you remember what happened when they came up to against that great walled city called Jericho in the promised land? I mean, that city scared people because the walls were so foreboding and so ominous looking. It was such a protected city. There was no way that you could break through that city and take over that city and take over the land of Canaan. Without Jericho going, there's no way they could possess Canaan. And so God says this, I want you to follow my instruction and let me be your guide. And when you get to Jericho, don't go there with military might on your mind. I want you to go there and be under the hand of my blessing and march around that city for a few days. And march around that city. And march around that city on the seventh day, blow the trumpet and shout and see what happens. And what happened was this, when the trumpet blew and the shouts were made, that city came crumbling, tumbling down. The walls were demolished into rubble. Can I hear an amen? That's what God does. He's a leader. He leads us along in shading green pastures. Is that right, Matthew? And some through the fire and some through the flood. But I know this is true, but all through the blood. Amen. And so we have God who's guiding us and who's directing us. He's given us an inspired word to be a light and a lamp. Amen. The entrance of thy word. Words giveth light. Can I hear an amen to that? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's given us this direction and this guidance. And here we are. We're saying, well, I can't praise God. I've never had a Red Sea moment. Tell you what God's going to do. One day you're going to close your eyes in death. And they're going to be opened in faith. In the presence of God's glory. And what He has reserved for you there will far outweigh anything you ever read in this book by what God has done. And you will spend forever and ever with Him in a perfect place, in a sinless place, in a wonderful place, in a place that God has prepared for you. You don't need a Red Sea moment. You've got something better on the horizon. Please say amen. Something to sing about. You ready to sing again tonight, this morning? Let's all stand. We'll sing a hymn. A closing hymn, Brother Matthew. My pastor, Brother Davidson, always said this, at least whistle. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. Lord, for what You mean to us. When I say us, I mean the church family that is Liberty Baptist Church. Father, also guests and visitors who have chosen to assemble here on this Lord's Day to worship You, to give our best to You. And Father, I just think that as we close this service, that we should sing with our hearts for the next few moments because you have given us something to sing about. Now, Lord, there might be some hearts here this morning that are troubled and they need to pray. And Lord, we don't want to dismiss that at all. We want them to pray. There might be a heart here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior. And Father, we want that more than anything for that to be reconciled and fixed before we close the service this morning. And Lord, so if anybody needs to step out and come, please give them the boldness and give them the urge to come to the altar this morning, to come and reach for my hand or another to be shown the ways of salvation through the crimson flood offered us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, as we close this service this morning, I want you to get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Number 801 in your hymnals. Amen.